Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org. This episode is brought to you by New Vibes Wine, bringing new vibes to the table with limited edition appellations and monthly club memberships. Subscribe at newvibeswine.com today and receive 50% off your first wine club order.
Welcome to HRN on Tour at the 2023 Food & Wine Classic in Aspen. I am Christine Sykes-Lowe.
And I'm Jennifer Bushman.
And today we are joined by Andrew Zimmern.
Hi.
I feel like I just saw you.
You did.
We just follow the Zimmern tour.
Yeah, we're on the Zimmern tour.
It's an obvious sign to me that you guys are doing the right work and that I'm working too much. That's what it is. I think that's what it comes down to. This is one of my favorite things to do every year. I look forward to it.
So you were with writing for the magazine about 20 plus years, right? 23, 24 years?
Yeah, on and off. The timeline is really in the mid and later 90s. I came out here cooking. All the activity took place in restaurants. There were no tents. There really weren't sponsors. Everything took place in restaurants that were open for dinner. And so during the day, they would devote their spaces to wine tastings, a demo from the chef in that restaurant. They brought in a handful of outsiders. It was a totally different vibe than what it has grown into. And so chef friends of mine would say, hey, we'll fly you in, we'll give you a ticket, we'll give you a place to sleep, which usually meant the banquette in the back of the restaurant. And it was great because you would work all the time and then you'd go to parties and do the Aspen thing. And then once, you know, I'd opened my restaurants and started to do television and all the rest of that, then I came here as a guest and then as a headliner. And I started writing for the magazine, I guess, a few years after Dana Cowan became the editor-in-chief, and both online and in the magazine. And yeah, it's staggering. I was actually looking at some of the covers that were done that had my food on it, and I'm just like, you know, how does that happen? And that my grandmother, her sufganiyot, the Israeli jelly donuts that we eat at Hanukkah, they're such an important part of celebrating that holiday, were on the cover of the magazine, is like sort of brings my whole life full circle. And to have had that opportunity and now to be working with Hunter and his team on a whole bunch of wellness initiatives and sort of as an elder statesman of the food crowd here, it's very odd. Our best new chefs this year, you know, I've met a bunch of them before, and several of whom won Beard Awards, and I was co-hosting that lot in the intervening week when we didn't see each other. That's what I was doing. And, you know, they're all like, yeah, I was watching you as a kid growing up. You know, I got into cooking because, you know, of watching you and Tony on TV. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is just nuts. I feel like I'm just getting started.
You are.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's the better half. It's the better half of life.
I love this event so much. I just love it.
So I was at the opening reception, and I saw your opening remarks, mm-hmm. speech. And I guess my next question was going to be, what is it like to be back here with all your colleagues? And you know,
it's like summer camp for chefs. And it is great. And one of the things I said last night was, you know, that room holds 40, 50, 60, 70 people who've been so important to my career, who taught me how to, you know, Dana, I didn't want to say her name because Hunter was going to introduce her and bring her up on stage. So I didn't want to ruin that moment. But Dana would, you know, say, no, you need to think about it this way. Think about it from this point of view and then write that. And that helped make me a better thinker, a better writer. It helped my TV career, not because it brought eyeballs there, but because it made my work better. And a lot of folks who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself were there. And just a lot of folks that I've you know, walked the same walk with for my entire food career. I've known Ray Isle for 40 years. I've known Bobby Flay for 41. I mean, like, we know each other when we were 20, 21 as line cooks in New York.
You said there are people in the room, several people in the room were the people you could reach out to at any point.
Any point.
And you having a bad day or something going on in your life, and they were there for you.
I said they would fly to wherever I was if I asked them to. And that's how close you get when you're working with people for a long time. You develop those kind of relationships. There were several people in that room last night. I don't want to, you know, single anyone out and forget others. But folks who, it started out as a working relationship. You know, they were a publicist. They owned a restaurant. They ran a magazine. They ran a brand. And over the years, we've just become friendly. I mean, some of the guys, you know, Huge Galdones and Ken Goodman, and Craig, the three of them have been taking pictures at food festivals for 20 years. And I see them at events like this, at Beard Awards, at everywhere there's food. I see them more than I see my kids some years, right? And if I called one of them and said, I need your help, can you be here tomorrow? They'd be like, okay. Because we've just hung out so much and we become close friends, and it's a beautiful thing. The food world, I love food. Here's what it is. Food people are the best people in the whole world. Full stop. I mean, it just doesn't get any more simple than that. And I love food people. I'm so glad I'm a part of this tribe.
Foodies are the best.
They are.
The pure Epicureans of the world.
They are. They are. We're the lotus eaters.
Exactly. I love it.
So I really want to put the festival, I think, into context. You know, it's run by Food & Wine magazine. The people that come, it's a lot of trade folks, as Andrew's been talking about, that we feel connected to. You know, when we talked about Fed by Blue, and we're sitting here, obviously, in this beautiful park, they're back there grilling all kinds of responsibly sourced fish and seafood. And really, I think it, don't you feel like the palate and the energy that is put into these dishes in some ways sets the stage for what we'll see in the future as we're seeing writers and everyone sort of capture and embrace these moments at Aspen Food & Wine?
Well, I think it's both reflective and forward thinking, right? So, and I was just having that conversation with a woman who represents the Australian Wagyu product that's being grilled over open fire. And she was making the point about how ethically they raise it, and they're trying to breed these cattle not on plants that have to be put to seed, but on what Australia offers. They really have a sense of place. And now that's something that anyone who's starting a chicken, pork, lamb, beef company would insist on today. 10 years ago wasn't even a part of the conversation. So there's both the reflexology piece of that, and then there's combinations of things, ways of cooking something that a very progressive chef is going to plate up, that then everyone, as you said, brands, writers, magazine people, fans are going to then be looking to use and utilize in the days, months, and years to come. And I think when it comes to sustainable seafood, you're seeing it right now. You know, we were just eating some incredible hamachi and some beautiful striped bass that is some of the most delicious fish you will ever taste, cooked, you know, over open fire, in a way that most people don't think of when it comes to hamachi, right? And someone's going to walk in here and say, oh, I can do that. And then they're going to ask their fishmonger for that product. And they're going to ask them where it's from, because they learned here from chefs like me for years saying, ask where it's from. Right. And if they can't tell you, don't buy, like that kind of thing. And it keeps growing in this virtuous circle. And I think that, you know, whether it's eating invasives, whether it's how to eat better meat but less of it, whether it's how to eat seafood that is contributes to ocean health as opposed to takes away from ocean health, I think all those things are both a reflection and the path forward that is going to keep growing in the eyes of the consumer, right?
I mean, it's this chain of well-being, because if you go and look at these beautiful blue foods that are being cooked over fire today, you've got these regenerative, beautiful oysters. You've got a Pacifico striped bass, which is a raised, farmed striped bass, the only farm in the world that does this. We've got some kids that are land raising. So in container ships, they're raising shrimp in Indianapolis, Indiana. That shrimp is here. So it just shows you that there's a blue future ahead. It's really incredible.
Can you go into a little bit more about the event we're live broadcasting from? It's part of your Fed by Blue event.
Yeah, so this is a global fire event, and what Global Fire, Kushan 45, Brady Lowe and the team do is they bring together a lot of different chefs. Kamado Joe is here with their grills, and of course, everyone that comes to these events will tell you a lot of the greatest times we have are the ones that are outside of the actual official events. That's what one of these is, an unofficial event that is during a break, and so Kushan 45, Global Fire, they put it on. And then what we did was we got Seattle Fish Company, which is based in Denver, Colorado,
How convenient.
110-year-old fish and seafood distribution company.
Well, Denver Seafood Company wasn't playing as well 110 years ago.
That's it. And they would go to Seattle and then literally bring the seafood here. Grandpa did. Great-great-grandpa. But the idea really that we would, Fed by Blue, we want to be at these events, Sundance and the others, to really be talking about this mission, this message, and the work that we have ahead.
Mm-hmm. New Vibes Wine offers limited edition wines from top appellations delivered directly to your door, so you can relax and focus on what matters most, you. As a team of working women, their goal is to simplify the decision-making process for busy individuals like you by providing a variety of delicious, high-quality wines. New Vibes Wine Club members receive monthly allocations of 3, 6, or 12 bottles, and they guarantee their product. They will refund or replace any varietal that's not up to your taste. Subscribe at newvibeswine.com today and receive 50% off your first wine club order. New Vibes Wine. Cheers to the everyday.
So, talking about your Emmy nominations, you recently found out that your partner, Patrick Weiland, got a nomination, or actually an award.
So we're sitting around the office, and Patrick is the president of the production company that I own, and I've worked with him for 17, 18 years now. He was one of my first directors on Bizarre Foods, and so we went around planet Earth together 100 times, and then I wanted him to come work for me, and then just this year we elevated him to president because he's grown our business, and it's just an amazing television creator. But before he started doing Unscripted 15, 16 years ago, he had a 20-year career in broadcast news, mostly for NBC. And what's incredible about that is to have two such successful careers in two different cities is really rare. And we were talking about that, and one of the folks in our office said, I think there's a Lifetime Achievement Award that Natus gives out, and they do have gold and silver circle winners and designees. And so, I mean, Dan had a brilliant idea, and he and a couple other people came to me and said, let's nominate Patrick for that. And I'm just like, brilliant. What do we have to do? So we had to do all this research, because you have to, you know, itemize all of the work he's done going back to his early 20s. And we wrote letters of recommendation and put the bio in and sent it off. And we found out a couple days ago that he was going to be chosen as a Silver Circle designee lifetime achievement by NATIS, the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the people who do the Emmys. So I got to Variety put it out today before the press release was put out. And he reads those trades. So I was petrified he'd find out before I could surprise him. So I got to him and I had the Variety article. I said, oh, look at this. And of course, at the top of it, it's got something about Susan Lucci getting a lifetime award. And he's like, do I need to read this? I just keep reading. Keep reading. I made this video and he's been crying all day, but he deserves it. It's a very cool thing.
And how amazing you're all together.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. And, yeah. And also, you know, there's... I don't know. It feels weird as talent to win awards or have people say great job when you are actually playing a team sport, and the people behind the camera get less credit than they deserve, and people on camera get more credit than they deserve. So I was all in on this from the get-go because it's vitally important. Personally, because he's my business partner, but, you know, more so because I really believe in it 100%.
Well, you've always been very gracious with your time, and we appreciate you sitting down and talking with us now.
Oh, no, this is absolutely fantastic. I will say one thing about the open fire celebration in front of us is that when you get a chance to cooks get excited about fire because everyone there knows how to cook a piece of meat or a piece of fish or a shrimp in a pan or under a broiler. There's no variable with the heat. You set it. It's consistent. What's lovely about cooking over open fire, and I think it's why so many home cooks love it, is that it is about managing the fire and the time. And so you don't get that challenge. And so as a chef, it's nice eating and it's nice looking at it. I really want to be cooking at this thing. And I'm just like, how come they never ask me to cook at this thing? I'm
like, busy.
I'm here all the time. I'm here every year. You know, it's just
he's teeing it up. I mean, it's going to happen, right?
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I want to show these whippersnappers how it's really done. It's an incredible thing. And I think that's what excites the chef. And I think that excitement is felt by the guests. And I think that's what makes these events really wild and open fire events really, really, really special.
Well, I can't wait to taste some of this food, especially the sustainable seafood.
Yeah, get those headphones off and
start
eating. Yeah,
I need to start enjoying. Thank you again.
You are very welcome.
Thank you for listening to HRN's live coverage of 2023 Food & Wine Classic in Aspen. I'm Christine Sykes-Lowe.
And I'm Jennifer Bushman.
Special thanks to New Vibes Wine for making our coverage possible. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, Heritage Radio Network, on tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. Heck yeah. Thanks.
There you go, honey.
Thanks, guys.
So you racing up?
Well, yeah, it's going to take me 10 minutes to say goodbye, and then I've got to be up there at, like, quarter of, so they can check all that kind of stuff. See you later.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. You're welcome.
That happened. So, Manit has a conflict. She wants to meet in the morning.
Oh, good.
So, I need to talk to her.
Just text me.
Yeah.
I'll come.
Yeah. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
What are you doing tonight?
We're going to go to that Top of the Mountain party.
Oh, good. Oh, you do get to go.
Yeah.
Because that is a tough ticket, so that's awesome. No, we're going to go out to the Outstanding in the Field.
Okay, that's what he was saying.
Yeah. So
hopefully the rain's, you know.
They're going to cover it.
Behaves.
And, you know, they never do that. So that's the good news is they don't normally do it. So that's great. So just text me and tell me when to meet in the media tent tomorrow then.
Okay.
Besides.
There's also an event.
Oh, do you have to take all of these?
Oh.
I've got less too.
Oh.
So I got to break up the whole interview scene.
Okay.
Well, we're done.
Sorry.
Done.
No, I was waiting. You're
let me
great.
Just get my stuff.
I'm not going to rush you.
Okay.
You look like get out of here.
Christine, I'll see you later on then. And
thanks.
It's good to see you. I hope we'll get to
so
hang
nice
out later.
You.
Take
yes.
care.
Bye.
Do you need help?
Yeah, let me just get my stuff together.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bag.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe. HRN On Tour is powered by Simplecast. This episode of HRN On Tour was produced in part by generous funding from the Julia Child Foundation.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.